Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And President Biden has been nothing but consistent about his belief, foundational belief in human rights, and LGBTQ plus rights are human rights. We, again, back to the earlier question, are never going to shy away and be bashful about speaking up for those rights and for individuals to live as they deem fit, as they want to live. And that's something that's a core part of our foreign policy, and it will remain so.
Well, guys, here to tell you, apparently how you have sex is a core part of our foreign policy. It is. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Oh, I'm full of it today, man. I am full of vinegar and brimstone and just cracking knees and knuckles. That's where we're at today. So Kane's like, oh, boy. Yeah.
And all the other FCC acceptable things.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me that. By the way, I just want to say, you're really loud in my ear right now. What? Like, more so than you ever have been. Like, everything is turned up. So
check,
our audio,
check one, two, check
we're
one,
having
two.
Some technical difficulties today because the audio is jacked. So we're just going to have to go with it. So if you see me messing with my earbuds on the simulcast of the radio show, first and foremost, please remember that it's a nationally syndicated radio show that has more listeners than most of the people on cable news, number one. Number two, you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show. So if I mess with my ears, it's because, you know, that's how I hear. Anyway, so to get started, Dana Loesch here with you, top of this first hour on Wednesday. And I have a number of things we're going to hit, but this one made me the angriest. I wrote a piece about it. If you subscribe to Substack, that's the newsletter. If you subscribe to that, I had a whole piece that I wrote because I find that this to be so ridiculously ridiculous. I don't know. Double pun intended, maybe. Why? John Kirby is the head of the National Security Council, right? And then they deal with the National Security Council. Those are all of the advisors, et cetera, that help the president figure out foreign policy, defense response, et cetera, et cetera. So John Kirby, you know, he's a veteran. John Kirby is a guy who understands military and strategy and all this other stuff, right? I mean, at least supposed to. That's why we pay him with our tax dollars. Am I correct? Yeah. So here's my question. Why is he talking about this? Why does this? I don't give a rat's ass about the rainbow people. I'm done with the alphabet everything. I am so done with it. I'm done walking on eggshells. I'm done being politically correct. I'm done watching everyone else wring their hands because they're so terrified that, you know what? The people who get upset over this are they genuinely don't have their feelings hurt. They pretend that they have feelings. They just want to go at other people they don't like. This isn't even about tolerance anymore. It is about subjugation. And here to have someone with the NSC, well, you know, the LGBT, shut up. No one cares. No one cares how you have sex. Nobody cares. This has gone from, it was supposed to be private and everything else is in the, you know, private behind closed doors, etc. Now, as a friend of mine said, you're forced to watch and required to applaud. Stop it. Nobody cares. Does it? You cannot say. I wrote a piece about this. I was holding my tongue a little bit on Substack. This was yesterday. There were a couple of pieces, and we're going to hit some of this. But I was just so aggravated when I saw this, and this soundbite hit just a little bit after we were off air. Right? Nobody cares. This is why military recruitment is low. We just had the optic of Xi Jinping meeting with Vladimir Putin, and Joe Biden had the Ted Lasso cast. They're planning some serious stuff, economic strengthening agreements, all this other stuff, trade, gas, oil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we have John Kirby out there saying, well, you know, alphabet rights are a core part of our foreign policy. No one cares if you want to literally fly a flag that symbolizes how you have sex. I mean, I prefer cutting my sandwiches into triangles as opposed to rectangles because I really feel like it maximizes my non-crust coastline, so to speak. But I'm not going to sit here and attach a flag to the front of my damn house advertising it. I'm not going to throw tantrums because hockey players aren't going to wear the colors of my sandwich preference on their jerseys. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, my truth. No one cares how you live your stupid, irrelevant truth. Nobody cares. It is a cliched phrase for people who want to do whatever they want to do without judgment. Stop it. There's truth and then there's not truth. I will say that people do care about being forced to wear things that they don't want to wear or having our taxpayer-funded National Security Council had give more attention to things that do nothing for military readiness. I mean, you literally have one job. Milley has literally one job. Kirby has one job. And when I think of what a core part of our foreign policy is, Kane, and everyone listening and watching, do you know what I think? I think it's diplomacy. I think bombs, killing bad guys, peace through strength. Do people understand what peace through strength means? It means being a badass, but not using it. You are one, which is a deterrent, but you don't go out and just, use it all willy-nilly. That's, in layman's terms. Flags symbolizing which genitals you're attracted to, or which of the two sexes you prefer to cosplay as, that does not fit into any of the core parts of foreign policy. I mean, Kane, if I can do sidebar, unless you're going to rape someone to death. I'm just, I didn't say it. I mean, I did, but not to you. You know, when you're pinned down by enemy fire, your special identity flag is not going to save you. I mean, if this administration toddler stomps us, heaven forbid, into World War III, your truth is going to evaporate in the face of grim reality. The only binary that will exist at that point is us and them. So considering the way that we have politicized everything, considering the way that we have prosecuted previous wars and previous conflicts, whether it's Iraq or whether it's the most recent abandonment of service members in Afghanistan, the National Security Council and the Department of Defense, I think perhaps should focus on military readiness instead of using our armed forces as some kind of taxpayer-funded social experiment. Because this wokery is going to get people killed. It's going to get service members killed. It already has. I mean, I just can't imagine an enemy looking at us and looking at Kirby saying this stuff and going, golly gee, we're just shaking in our boots. We're so scared of them. The fighting force has no room for your special identity, etc. Because it doesn't care. You know, that's the one thing that's actually pretty amazing. Everyone's like, oh, well, it's not inclusive. The military is exclusive. It is discriminatory because the whole entire purpose is to be one giant, amazing ass-kicking force. That is why. Anything else that detracts from that is a weakness. You are preventing this realization of a whole unit by insisting on having these little exceptions. No one cares. No one cares. If you're in the trench, nobody cares. But see, that's the thing. It's gotten to the point where, no, you have to care. We just can't do anything until you say that you do. What? That was yesterday. John Kirby. I was watching his body language when he was saying this. And I got the sense that in his head he was like, you've got to be kidding me. Did you get that? Just me? Maybe. The other thing I want to hit today that has me, I'm done. I'm so, we got to have a come to Jesus talk here, guys. So here's the thing. I don't give a crap if Piers Morgan is on Fox. I don't care. I still don't like Piers Morgan. We get along uneasily. We both hate Meghan Markle because I just can't stand whiny Karens, and neither can he. We've had fights over the past decade on the Second Amendment. He's banned me from his show, unban me. We've had knockdown dragouts. And I don't think that he's coming around on certain things. I just think that the left has gone so far off the deep end. It makes people who were once clownishly leftists look like moderates. And that's a terrifying thing. And so he did this interview with Ron DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. What have I told you guys about what the media wants to do? I don't care who anybody likes in a primary. I think it is the height of stupidity to be tribal in a primary. I also think it is anti-American to demand fealty to any one person, be it Trump or be it DeSantis or be it anybody else, because we kind of fought a war to not have a monarchy. And I'll be damned if we try to replicate that with party tribalism in a primary. God help us. So I see Piers Morgan, he does this interview with Ron DeSantis. Now, I was reading the interview because I can't stand Piers Morgan's nasally voice. He doesn't know how to project it to the front of his mouth and out of his throat. It just bothers me, kills me, kills my soul. Anyway, I was reading the transcript. I was reading the Q&A of this interview. And I stopped in the middle of it and I went back and I was looking at how this was being marketed on social media. Have you guys seen these headlines? Ron DeSantis slams Trump. Ron DeSantis fires back. It's on. Ron versus Don. The media has a fetish. And they desperately want everyone to take the bait. And I see some Republicans are. Now, I was reading the transcript. I was looking at these headlines and I'm like, where in the hell did he slam anybody? Piers Morgan did not get any kind of exclusives. He did not get any kind of new answers. From what I've seen, as someone who pays attention beyond what a producer hands me in a packet, Piers, excuse me. From what I saw in his answers, he literally has said this same thing to everybody. But because he's talking to Piers, the guy who published horrible headlines about British service members that even earned condemnation from the Queen. Remember, this guy was a sensationalist phone hacking publisher. So he's a yellow journalist. He's a snake oil salesman who deals with ink. Ron DeSantis gives this interview and Piers Morgan spins it into Ron DeSantis attacks. And because a lot of people, I guess, have forgotten Piers Morgan's history, they forget his sensationalist start and his history, what he did to British service members and how he actually imperiled them. I guess because they associate, because he's got a web show on Fox that they think, well, maybe that's okay. We're going to take it seriously. And they ran with it. Half the people who were reacting to this didn't even get past the headline. He did no such thing. He literally said almost verbatim the same thing he's told everyone else. But I'll be damned. It is now. Oh, it's on. Everybody's fighting because people took the bait. Not everybody, but a lot of people took the bait. Media was able to swindle you through Piers Morgan, of all people. And people ate it up. Why? Because he agrees with wokery on Fox. He hates you if you have a gun. I think Jeremy Clarkson needs to hit him again. We have a lot more on the way. We're just getting started. We've got headlines coming up. We got a bunch of things to get into. And of course, you can also watch the stream on Facebook, YouTube. And we got a new channel on DirecTV. I don't remember what it is. But can we stop with the whole Newsmax with thin third? They weren't. And it'd be really great if their executives apologized for the stupid pot shots they took at another network's talent, which is probably outmeasures their own. That'd be great. Oh, I'm ready to fight. Come at me. I'm done. I'm taking all comers today. Kel-Tec innovation is back to back. You've heard me talk about Kel-Tec's P50 pistol. Now here comes the new 9mm P15 carry pistol. Quality engineered, the 9mm P15 carry pistol is the lightest, thinnest of its kind and Kel-Tec's first striker fire handgun. And as another first, the P15s feature a totally unique patent pending 15 round extended magazine. Now other features include ambidextrous grip, safety, reversible mag release, and the hybrid fiber optic night sights with fully adjustable rear. That all comes standard. It's from Kel-Tec, inventors of subcompact polymer and now metal handguns. The P15's gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for easy, accurate handling, while the all-metal version offers comfortable but positive traction and a really beautiful wood grip panel. The P15 is the dependable firepower you need to secure your world. See the new 9mm P15 first up close and personal at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a massive seaweed belt is going to hit the United States. It's a giant seaweed belt, twice the width of the United States. It set its sights on Florida, and it could wreak havoc as it washes ashore. It is a 5,000-mile wide bloom. It is a belt of sargassum, a floating brown algae. It usually is out in the Atlantic, but then it comes to land and it rots, and it smells like rotten eggs, and it irritates everybody. So it's like, what is it, like the bloom, the algae bloom? That's really bothers a lot of people, so I don't know. Be careful with that. Wall Street Journal says that home prices fell in February for the first time in 11 years. The sales of existing homes jumped almost 15% from prior month, but down sharply from the year earlier. Also, TikTok lands its first major ally on Capitol Hill. If you guess that it was a Democrat, ding, 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 you win nothing. TikTok landed its first major ally, Democratic Representative Jamal Bowman. He's of New York. He's defending the CCP founded, funded, and backed and ran app, rejecting efforts to ban it as ill-advised, and says it's a fear-mongering campaign and xenophobic. Or we just don't like commies. You know that, too. Stay with us. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation and astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Today is a combination of so many different things. It's kind of a diffusion of an incredible amount of pent-up tension and holding back of despair.
When night comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast.
The stress of the fact that you're responsible for something that's killing a lot of people. 400,000 individual people.
I'm gonna choke to death on the cringe.
People were seeing their loved ones dying. without even being able to be near them.
This is part of this documentary. He's sitting here watching Biden's inauguration, and he's crying. He's crying. I was on Jesse Waters about this last night, and I really had to catch myself because few things make me angrier than this. This glorified medical hoggle. And he claps. It's in his living room. He is so high on his own farts, this guy. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. This is at the Fauci doc. So this, guys, keep in mind, this is back in January of 2021, right? Back in January of 2021. I don't know if you've watched some of this. You don't have to. I did it for you. Just let me clue you in. This whole, first off, the whole documentary is just adulation of him. The one thing that struck me as weird is in the past couple of years, whenever he's been in his office and he's given interviews, we've made fun of him because he has all kinds of stuff about himself. It's just kind of weird because he's a doctor, right? Like, and he's really bought into all this hype. People liked him because they thought that he was an opponent of Trump, which he was. But that's why the left liked him so much, really. And he gave that authority to their fear. And he was in his office in previous interviews, and he would have, what are those little bobblehead dolls? He had little bobblehead dolls of himself. He had a couple of other things. And we're like, that's so weird. Y'all, his house. This is going to be a weird, I'm going to bring this tugboat in, but hang on. One of my favorite movies, and my kids were terrified of it when they were younger, is Coraline. It's a fabulous movie. It's really good. It's creepy, creepy, not for all kids. And there's a scene when the main character meets these two older women that are living in the basement of this home that's been turned into, this old Victorian home that's been turned into multiple housing, like apartments in it. And these two old women, they were, I guess, opera stars at one point. So the title character, Coraline, goes in, meets them, and she sees that they have all these pictures of themselves everywhere. All kinds of things set all around their house as a little memorials to their heyday. And when I saw Fauci in his house, it immediately brought to mind that those characters in that scene. Because I think it represents two things simultaneously. First, that he was a cult of personality, number one. And number two, this is all fleeting. He's only as relevant so far as there is something that justifies calling him out to give his expertise on. As long as the fear rages, he has influence. When that goes away, so does this worship of this bureaucrat. And he's in his house and he has pillows of himself, pictures of himself. Guys, it was weird. I mean, I have people who send me stuff and I love everything I get, but I would look like a psycho if I put everything of myself. I would look nuts. Kane can attest. It would be weird, man. It would look nuts. I can't do that. He does not have any such hesitation. So he's in his house and he's got all these things about Fauci. He really bought into this. Don't you think that they made this almost like they had to not rehabilitate him, but sort of stake his place in this cultural narrative of hysteria? That's what I got from this. The other part of it, and we played this audio yesterday, we were talking about how he was going around in Washington, D.C. Also, by the way, another quick sidebar, he's standing there crying at the inauguration. How many times was he like, oh, I'm not political. I don't get, Republican or Democrat. I'm not any. Yes, he is. He showed everyone that he is. I remember the early days when he was taking to the stage. Burks, I thought, was a little bit more soft-spoken. And Redfield was weird and I liked him. But Fauci, I mean, I thought, oh, this is nice. He wants to explain everything in such detail. None of us knew who this guy was, except maybe some like old AIDS activists, But then it just seemed it started to become condescending, did it not? Especially because he immediately started getting interviews. He took the media's bait, and the media wanted, I've said this, you can go back in my archives, I've said it, I've written about it. They wanted to really emphasize this rift between Fauci and Trump, and Fauci helped them. So he's walking around in this documentary, and this is in January of 2021, barely a year, not even a full year after all the restrictions and everything else. People were still doing the distancing and the masks and all this stuff. He's walking around. First, he's in a car with other people. He's not even wearing a mask, but then he gets out and then he's going to put his little theater mask on, his little cloth mask. It just, everything that he did made a mockery. And all the camera people, nobody were 6 feet apart. That's one of the things that he was pushing at the time. Everyone stay 6 feet apart. Everybody did this. He wasn't observing any of this stuff because it was never about containment. It was about control. So he goes and he's talking to these residents in D.C. And then he has the audacity to step aside and say something to Muriel Bowser about, oh, well, it's, you know, these Republican states. That's really what's going to help, going to keep perpetuating this. It's just going to smolder the pandemic and everything. He's saying this as he's getting pushed back in a Democrat neighborhood. And then he just gave up talking. As soon as, if you notice in any of the clips you've seen, you don't even have to watch the full thing. Anytime he got pushback from anybody, he just would say a couple of things and he'd give up. It angers me because of everything that everyone was put through based on what this guy said. And Jesse said, I know he was being funny. He said, you know, it's amusing. And I, every time I see this guy walking around, I just, it angers me because people lost their livelihoods. People lost their lives. Do you realize? Let me pull the story up. I think I had this as a headline. The amount of deaths due to cancer skyrocketed because people weren't getting cancer screenings. I think what, almost 10 million screenings left undone. University of Kansas Medical Center has a study, one of them, massive negative impact of COVID on cancer screenings. Cancer screenings decline during pandemic. Reduced cancer screening due to lockdowns. COVID reversed important strides made in cancer screenings. Story after story after story. The COVID cancer effect. First line, there's little doubt that the chaos ushered in by the pandemic has led to more cancer deaths. 10,000 more, NBC 2020, 10,000 more cancer deaths predicted because of COVID. Millions missed cancer screenings at the start of pandemic. I mean, study after study from health centers, universities, CNN even, New York Times, Nature Journal, Scientific American, UPI, American Cancer Society, Oncology Society, all kinds. Because of stuff this guy laid out. To say nothing of any other diseases that people struggled with and missed screenings for. Due to the guidelines of whom? This guy and the task force that he led. It's why I think it is such in bad taste for this documentary to treat him like he is some sort of besieged hero. Especially when it ignores the hand he played and creating the very thing that we all had to lock down from. So it makes me angry. I get really angry about this. Our kids have been impacted. The results of which I think it's still too soon to even measure. We were irrevocably damaged as a nation. It decimated us. And they're doing a documentary about this guy? Showing him standing in his living room crying and applauding at Biden's inauguration? Showing his condescension and disregard for black residents in D.C. because they push back on his BS? And they ask him questions that you and I have been suspended on social media for even stating? People telling him, well, this is in 2021. January. Well, it doesn't prevent transmission. Fauci didn't have anything to say to that. He had to deflect to Bowser and these other officials there who had to pick up the slack for him. He was done. He thinks he's such a badass and he wants to enter that realm, but when he does, he can't hold it. You know what also angers me? Instead of talking about this, instead of talking about how they're trying to lionize this guy who helped ruin, who helped an economy and helped destroy part of a nation. I hear from you people all the time. I hear from all of you out there. There's some of your family members that y'all don't even talk to because y'all disagreed about the restrictions and regulations this dude proposed. Some of y'all lost your jobs. Your businesses were closed. People were arrested for trying to do their work in Texas, of all places. And instead of paying attention to what they're trying to do with this guy, instead of paying attention to what Jim Jordan, God love him, he's trying so hard in House Oversight to get the nation to pay attention to what they're doing. And guess what? Everybody in the Republican Party is slap fighting like a bunch of damn pansies over Trump and DeSantis. To hell with it all. Bring on Smod. We got more to come as we get moving here. We also have Florida Man coming up next hour. We're also going to talk to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey coming up. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Fix the problem, not the blame. With threats of persecution of political figures, how should you react? Is this a political sideshow? It just demonstrates that we're an unserious nation. Should Trump own up to his mistakes? Should we ignore the Manhattan investigation? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse. You know, I was telling Kane on break, I had two friends of mine in a group text last night that decided to not be in a group text anymore because of Trump and DeSantis. And my last words, I can't say exactly what they were to them. My last words were, why can't you guys just say you're going to support whoever the nominee is because they're going to be better than whatever turd a Democrat puts on the ticket and just shut kindly up? So that was the last thing I said, because that's what it is. I don't understand the tribalness in a primary. People get mad at me because I don't get it's very rare in a primary if for anything if I get involved, because I don't like handing Democrats ammo about people. Now, when Trump first ran in 2016, I wrote an editorial about the primary because I was really concerned. That's when I supported Perry, because Perry was governor, because I didn't know what Trump's record was. He literally had no record. Nobody knew. And I don't know about you, but especially when it comes to like gun rights and stuff like that, that kind of makes me nervous. And I wrote about that. And people are still like, operatives are still trying to freak out about it now. Pfft, get real. But I've never understood the crazy tribalism during a primary. So I'm like, realize we're going to support who the nominee is and do not help Democrats destroy our, you know, people who are your best bet. Stop. So stupid. The people who are out there doing it are operatives, just so you know. They're paid campaign people. The people you see doing it, even some of them on TV, are paid campaign people. That is how this industry works. This is why I stay in Dallas. Now, Speaking of everything with Trump, so this is weird. Kane and I were also just talking about this. So Alvin Bragg, apparently they're going to, what, they might impanel him Thursday, or is they're going to stand by to report on Thursday now? We were talking to Andy McCarthy yesterday, and he was saying that it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday that they meet. They were supposed to have the indictment today. At least that's what it was originally coming out as, and then the arraignment next week, right?
Yeah, that's how it originally was this morning. And now I'm seeing from Business Insider that apparently the panel is not even expected to vote by week's end, even if they reconvene tomorrow, according to one of the sources. And this is according to Business Insider. So,
I mean, if you're going to come at somebody with bunk charges, just come, just do it already, right? Like, quit dragging this out. It makes me wonder if they're struggling.
I think so.
To even get, I mean, because for real, we've talked about this. Because Andy McCarthy, I thought, so brilliantly laid it out when he said, ultimately, what Bragg has to prove is that the money was paid as a way to hide another crime specific, you know, with New York statute. And he said, there's nothing there that, and I agree with him. It's just, it is ridiculous. So it seems like to me, you know, and I'm only a lawyer on the radio. It seems like they're struggling. They're on the struggle bus to find, which I know. I'm sure you're so shocked after all the Marussia and everything else. I'm sure you're so shocked.
I can't believe it.
I mean, who knew? So we're going to keep an eye on this and talk about all of that as well. All right, so coming up, I'm about done with members of government trying to go after my household things.
Yeah.
Now, apparently they want to go after you for how you toast your bread.
What?
Not making it up.
What?
Stay with us. We got a lot more on the way. Second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. Folks, are you concerned about American K-12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
I'm wondering what it means to President Biden that Putin calls Xi Jinping a friend.
I don't think we're overly exercised about that comment. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, MJ, where they were talking about a relationship without limits, right? Partnership without limits. So we're not going to get all hot and bothered about the use of friends.
Wow. John Kirby, who is, I don't know if you could even say that's running defense for the administration. Where is even Biden right now? They had an arts medal thing, and he gave Springsteen a medal and stumbled over some stuff. We'll play that. And then he's going to be in Delaware this weekend.
What?
In the meantime, you have China and Russia strengthening ties. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour, your lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you, as always, to get you through the week. It's Wednesday, so we're halfway there. We're halfway there, guys. Not the Bon Jovi way either. You guys, half of you are like, what? It's a lit. No, anyway, I'm in a weird mood today. But you can also, by the way, watch, is it 347? Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Juan. Juan is over there giving me hand signs. 347 on DirecTV. So always good stuff. And you can join the YouTube discussion, find us on Facebook, and listen in on a market near you across the country. All right. So as I was just saying, as Biden was, let me play this. Let me get this. This is audio soundbite one. Biden was apparently trying to tell jokes to Bruce Springsteen about owning New Jersey. So this is a two-parter. So I have this 1-2 punch. This is the first thing. Listen to this.
Taking the good things in music, the boss is here. North Jersey boy. First of all, I just want you to know, Bruce, there's a lawsuit between the governor of Delaware and the governor of New Jersey, and it's now a matter of we own Delaware, own for Delaware with a high watermark. I claim he's part of Delaware.
So while this is happening, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin were meeting, and now apparently Putin says that Russia supports the use of the Chinese yuan for conducting transactions between Asia, Africa, and Latin America. It is the de-dollarization. That's what they're pushing towards. The de-dollarization, and it empowered Russia and China. Do you think anybody in the press is going to ask any questions about that? And this is significant. This is incredibly significant. And Kane's shaking his head over there. It's true, because this is, and some of this was because of sanctions that actually ended up hurting the U.S. Sanctions are good. It's a good tool in your arsenal of things to do to de-escalate, because you don't want to immediately go from disagreement to full-on, you know, DEFCON, whatever. But they have to be done smart. And the questions are whether or not this administration, it wasn't enough to even be smart. Are you depressed, Kane? You're like,
I am.
Tell me about it, because this is serious.
It is.
I just think that the focus of this administration is all on this, a different agenda, like a woke agenda, for lack of a better word, and the focus on that is taking their focus off of this international issue. And it seems like it's almost intentional to me.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, literally they had on the Ted Lasso people on stage. And this is what they were building up to with Russia and China. This is not good. The de-dollarization. Into the petrodollar. I mean, this is some rough stuff. So there we go. This is they want to remove the power of the U.S. dollar. And this will hurt. Nothing from the administration on this. No, and in fact, nobody's even actually talking about it. Everything is, Republicans are being stupid and they're slap fighting too early in a primary. They're not focusing on, look, I'm going to tell you something, sidebar, people who seriously want to win, just, they're going to support the nominee. They're not going to get involved in this stupid fealty nonsense and all this garbage. Not when this kind of stuff's happening. I mean, that you're rearranging deck chairs and the country's on the edge. Seriously, man, I actually was disappointed in some friends of mine because I felt like they were distracted by their, operative jobs. De-dollarization is serious, and when they're talking about Africa and Asia and Latin America as well, don't forget that's where China has spent a lot of time in the last few years. We've talked about this with Stephen Yates with their Belt and Road initiatives. Now, granted, it's shoddy infrastructure, but China, the agreement is they'll provide this, kind of good infrastructure. And they'll take over mineral rights, resources. I mean, we're just giving away the farm here. Where the hell's Biden? This is also what happens when you got War Inc. running stuff. War Inc.'s to blame for this, too. So, I mean, does this... I don't know. I mean, yes, some people argue it is a fiat currency. But still, this is some trouble here. I'm not quite sure this goes. I mean, you would have to. Can this work for the U.S. without intervention? I don't know.
Good question.
So that's, something to put on your table there. Aren't you so? I know. I wish I had better news for you on that. But that's what's happening. And he's got the Ted Lasso people. He's giving Bruce Springsteen medals. He's struggling, audio soundbite two, struggling to read just some basic stuff from the teleprompter. Take a look and a listen.
I'm proud to use my authority under the Antiquities Act to establish the, and I want you to know it's a big deal, the Havaniqua May. I'm having trouble. Thank you. I got it.
They treat him like a baby. He just took his first bite of solids. Come on, man. Come on, man. Does that, guys, audio sound by three just makes it worse. It just makes it worse. Watch and listen.
An engineer, poet, Cuban-American, Richard Blanco, returned to a poem he wrote from the second inaugural Barack in Maine. A poem, one today, it says, "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on every of every county, country." Let me start this over again. I'm getting so intimidated by being here. "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country, county, all of us facing the stars. Hope, a new constellation waiting for us to map it, waiting for us to name it together." You know, that's what we, you know, hope is, I was once asked by Xi Jinping to define America, for real. We were in the Tibetan Plateau. I said, possibilities, hope.
Jeez. Now ask Biden about what's going to head into the petrodollar. Woo, boy. So that's, do you feel secure? I hate saying that, but that's, you know. In the meantime, everyone in the country is watching over what matters, guys. Spotify has only spent a tiny amount of its $100 million diversity fund on diversity stuff. They're very upset. They had, after what, everything with Rogan, they had the $100 million creator equity fund designed to promote diversity in music and podcasts. So stupid. Following controversial comments, they weren't controversial, that's being reported. And now they're being hit because it says they spent less than 10% of that money on that work as it rounded off its first year. They said that Spotify declined to comment on specific spending numbers for the equity fund. A spokesperson said that it backed a number of initiatives in its first year, including Glow, which highlights music from alphabet artists, which I'm going to go ahead and wager sounds, I don't know, that's it probably sucks. Nailing It, a podcast hosted by three black women. Did they specifically work on creating content from people who could actually drive a program?
No.
Think out loud?
No.
Without?
Nope.
No? Okay.
None of that.
Yeah, okay. I just know it. Because, you know, whether or not what comes true and or what comes really through in audio podcasts is, you know, the color of people's skin and what genitals they like. I mean, that really, guys, that's what it's all about.
Content.
Jiminy. So this was the fund that they announced after Neil Young had a tantrum, remember? And then they had employees speak out because they hate diversity of thought and they're a bunch of little whiny fascists. So I don't care how Spotify's a private company. They can do what they want to do. They can do it. They can do whatever it is that they want to do. I don't care. This is so crazy. So another thing that is apparently, this almost sounds like a horror film. It is the Trans Day of Vengeance. Have you heard about this, Kane?
No.
More wokery. The Trans Day of Vengeance. So they're upset because they say Governor Youngkin's policies have made Virginia schools less safe for transgender students. Interesting, because I thought it was a girl that was raped by a transgender student by a male cosplaying as a woman in the female bathroom of a school. And I thought it was another girl that was sexually assaulted by the same man cosplaying as a girl. So I'm just not quite sure. What about the Women's Day of Vengeance against trans harassment? Where's that at? They said, we want more than visibility. Trans Day of Vengeance. Stop trans genocide. Where the hell are they getting this from? So they're meeting at SCOTUS on April 1st, which is totally appropriate. April Fool's Day. So they said, and I love how they're not even using words correctly. Vengeance means fighting back with vehemence. We're fighting back against false narratives. These are, I'm going to put some buzzwords in a poorly created graphic. It's, we're fighting against criminalization and eradication of our existence. Okay. What? And then they keep saying that, I mean, they're using some pretty violent language here. They also say it's a call to our allies to stand up and fight with us, to bring down the forces that try to divide us and subjugate us all. So you want to fight people in front of SCOTUS. Okay. You guys are violent. What is it? I don't even know what, yeah, it is April Fool's Day, which is hysterical. No one cares if you exist. The problem is that you're trying to do a lot more than that, which is the issue. And you keep trying to tell people's kids about how you do it, and nobody cares. So I don't know. I don't get this whole, they said they have speakers and they're doing all this stuff. It sounds like an insurrection, Kane. Totally sounds like an insurrection.
They say they're going to go right in front of the Supreme Court.
But even more so, I think that this perfectly encapsulates exactly what it is that we have criticized different movements on the left for over the years. It's not about justice. It's about vengeance. Trans Day of Vengeance. Where's the Women's Day of Vengeance against trans harassment?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is kind of wild. Apparently, amateur radio hobbyists have caught the Russians talking about recovering pieces of that U.S. Reaper drone that they destroyed over the Black Sea. Russia raced to recover the wreckage hours after the drone crashed on March 14th. Apparently, they want to reverse engineer it, obviously. It said radio intercepts reveal conversations about recovering pieces of the drone. For instance, one of the clips said, we have brought up three parts of the frame. So, and that was hours after hobbyists caught that radio traffic. So, very interesting. So, in Hong Kong, because you know you have Winnie the Pooh, the horror film that's coming out, because the copyright now is just public. Well, at least without the red shirt on it is. So, the Winnie the Pooh horror film, the screening was canceled in Hong Kong. Now, there's a reason why. Because during the Hong Kong protests against Chinese expansionism, they were going to take over Hong Kong. The protesters were comparing Xi Jinping to Winnie the Pooh, and Xi Jinping got really mad and they banned Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh's banned. So that's why, of course that's why they banned it. It's hysterical. Biden's approval rating sits at just 41% and 36% back Kamala Harris in a new poll as they gear up for what looks like will be a 2024 White House run, maybe. She still is, I mean, her negatives, even with her own party, are actually really, really high. She's almost a drag more than a boon to him. But I don't know who else they would put on the ticket because they can't have anyone overshadow Biden. And that's, yeah, that says it all. And apparently, this is kind of crazy. According to this particular story, there was J.P. Morgan Chase thought they had $1.3 million worth of nickels stored in a warehouse. And an examination revealed it was just a bag of stones. Oh. Missouri Attorney General joins us next. Stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. And of course, you can listen coast to coast on a radio station near you. You can also stream it online. Find us Facebook, YouTube, Channel 347. I have to keep looking for double checking that number. Channel 347, also DirecTV. It's good to be back with you here at the bottom of this second hour. So one of the stories that we have covered takes place in my home state and in my hometown of St. Louis, which was crazy to see a hospital that, because Kane and I are both St. Louisans, homegrown, it was wild to see a hospital that we've done events for and all this kind of stuff be involved in, I don't like this phrase, but this is what they use, gender affirmation surgeries and transitions, which I don't even, it's just woke ease. It's gender mutilation. They are taking healthy kids and they're mutilating them to cosplay as a different sex. And this is not informed consent. And that's one of the big areas of concern that I just don't know how you can have a 13-year-old who can't get their ears pierced at the mall, if that's what kids do anymore, who can agree to get a serious life-changing surgery like this. And there are apparently a skyrocketing number of this. It increases, which is why Missouri's top lawyer, Attorney General Andrew Bailey, has gotten it. Well, he's gotten involved. In fact, he's issued emergency regulations against these transition interventions for children. And he joins us now from the great state of Missouri via Skype. Attorney General, thank you so much for joining us. Very good to have you. This really shocked me. And I don't know if it's because I just romanticized my hometown or if it's because it's a hospital and they help people, they don't hurt people. But then when you also begin highlighting the increase of number of these transitions, that is really troubling. This is an epidemic. Talk to us about what you've done to intervene.
Well, it's about protecting children for me. And so when we had a whistleblower from this clinic in St. Louis come forward several weeks ago and notify us of serious allegations of what amounts to child abuse masquerading as medicine, really it's a radical left-wing ideology that puts kids at risk masquerading as medicine. We took action, we marshaled state resources, and we've launched an investigation and are going to hold wrongdoers accountable because it's worth standing up and fighting to protect children. And if even one-tenth of what this whistleblower says is true in her sworn affidavit, then we've got a serious problem on our hands. And so given the allegations, we asked for a moratorium on these procedures as we looked into the matter. The clinic declined. And the justification for the clinic saying no was that they claimed they were the only clinic that offered these kinds of services in the state of Missouri. Well, further investigation has revealed that's patently untrue. There is a clandestine and shadowy network of clinics like this all across the state of Missouri. Now, you don't expect this in places like Middle America, places like Missouri, but it is absolutely happening. Children are being put at risk. There are long-term and serious health consequences at issue here. And so we've got to stand up and push back and put safeguards in place to protect children.
One of the things that the Missouri Attorney General's that he's mentioning, this whistleblower that came forward to share everything that she saw going on at this clinic. I mean, use of puberty blockers, hormones to treat what they were describing as gender identity disorder. I mean, otherwise healthy kids who need no medical intervention. And I'm curious, too, I don't even know if there's been an ability to do a long-term study on what happens to kids that are subjected to this sort of hormonal abuse like this when they're so young and going through puberty. Nothing like that exists, does it?
No, and that's exactly the problem. That's why children are at risk. Look, European nations that are far to the left of America culturally, like Sweden, Finland, Norway, France, England, they've walked away from administration of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and ultimately irreversible surgeries in favor of treating mental health problems in the traditional method of psychiatry and psychology. Why aren't we talking to these kids when they come in? Why are we jumping the gun to puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and ultimately dangerous surgeries? Because we know that the FDA has not approved puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for this kind of treatment. And we know that these are dangerous drugs. They're experimental and they result in blindness, brain swelling, loss of bone density. These are irreversible, harmful consequences to this woke left-wing ideology masquerading as medicine.
Yeah, and with the parents as well, I can't imagine any parent that would have their kid go through this, but surely there is some sort of legal deterrent. I believe in parenting your children, raising your children free from the government. That's not what this is. These are parents who are allowing their kids, and in some instances, it's parents that are kind of circumvented by teachers and even other medical professionals that encourage these kids to go through this without parental notification or consent. And there's this, like I said, no informed consent. If you're under 18, you can't be signing contracts, legal contracts. They're not binding. So how is there some sort of deterrent for parents who would be eager to put their kids through this to maybe rethink about the implications? Because there are minors now that are coming of age that are filing suits.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, this is what motivated our promulgation of the emergency rule to protect children, because the allegation that the whistleblower makes in the St. Louis case is that there were instances where a clinician would be standing there with a parent trying to obtain parental consent, and the patient, the child, was present, and the clinician would say things like, "Do you want a dead son or a live daughter?" and force the issue. That's not informed consent. That's coercion in favor of a woke left-wing ideology masquerading as medicine. And so our emergency rule requires true informed consent, where clinicians have to acknowledge the fact that these are experimental drugs. They're not FDA approved. And that other nations have rejected them because the risks outweigh the benefits. And it's about protecting children.
I was looking, too, talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey I saw that you filed an updated petition in the case of St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, who became super famous around the country for a number of cases, not just the riots that were taking place in downtown St. Louis, but also the McCluskey case and more. I mean, the some of what's being reported, she created a toxic environment, failed to review police actions. And this is some of this is from your office as well. She also apparently doesn't have a lot of confidence from the people she's supposed to be over either. What is the latest in this? Because this is an attorney that has really done a disservice to St. Louisans, and I think has really undermined any faith in her office. I don't know how that can be rebuilt.
Yeah, we've got to restore the rule of law and find justice for victims in the city of St. Louis. This is a regional problem. It's affecting every city and county in that area. And she's unlawfully refusing to do her job. Instead of protecting victims, she's creating more victims. And really, that takes three forms. Number one, she's failing to prosecute cases that of charges she files, and those languish on the dockets and are eventually dismissed. She's failed to inform and confer with victims of crime, which is both her constitutional, statutory, and moral obligation. And finally, she's failed to file new charges referred to her by the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, resulting in a backlog of somewhere between 3,000 to 4,000 cases that are just sitting there, dangerous offenders going unaccounted for because she refuses to do her job. And we're going to stand up and hold her accountable.
Yeah, that's can't imagine. I can't 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000, you said, a backlog of violent and many violent offenders.
Absolutely. People are being hurt. People are being maimed. Things are being broken. It's chaos in the streets of St. Louis because she's unlawfully refusing to do her job. And that's what happens when you have a Soros-backed prosecutor who's an activist, not a prosecutor. I come from a prosecutor's office. I know what it means to exercise prosecutorial discretion. And it means you evaluate a police report to determine if you have sufficient evidence for a charge, what the charge should be, and ultimately what the disposition should be in that case. Yeah. Prosecutorial discretion is not authority to nullify laws that you dislike or disagree with.
And just
this isn't about her being incompetent. She's crossed that threshold, the unlawful refusal to do her job.
And just like we've seen with New York City and in Chicago, I mean, there's a consequence for this, because when you're not doing anything to push back against the crime. So, I mean, I lived in downtown St. Louis. I lived blocks away. I was in Benton Park. I mean, I know exactly. I mean, we'd walk to Blue City Deli. We were right there by Hodak's. We were right there by everything. I mean, St. Louis, I mean, we could smell the hops and barley from the brewery waft across the highway. And even when I left in 2013, I moved to Dallas in 2013, and I could see the crime was already increasing. My neighbors and black, white, everybody was nervous. There were a lot of concerns, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And then with Gardner, then it just all fell apart. I was looking at the number of businesses, talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. The number of businesses, 550 have left just in the past 3 years alone, have left downtown St. Louis. There is an absolute exodus. I couldn't even believe that Brown and Crouppen, I have their commercials memorized. They're leaving downtown St. Louis. That guy has an eye patch. He's been through it. They're leaving downtown St. Louis because the crime and the taxes, it's all awful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is an economic drain on the region, on the state of Missouri. And it boils down to this: safer streets equal prosperous communities. So we've got to restore the rule of law. We've got to find justice for victims. And that starts with my legal proceeding to remove the circuit attorney. We're going to hold her accountable for her illegal refusal to enforce the laws as written. And we anticipate victory. Look, since we filed this petition, there has been a wellspring of people who have come forward, former police officers, current police officers, victims of crime, who have a story to tell that add evidence to this case of her unlawful refusal to do her job. So it's time for the circuit attorney to go and for the rule of law and justice to prevail.
There you go. Last question for you. What does that timeline look like for her removal?
Well, we filed an amended petition 24 hours ago. We hope to be in court within the next week or two, and we're asking for a trial date this summer. The people of the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri deserve clarity on this issue. And the rule of law demands that expeditious action be taken. We're going to keep our foot on the gas pedal and keep driving forward that ultimate goal of restoration of the rule of law and justice for victims.
Yeah, there you go. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, we appreciate what you're doing, sir. Thank you so much for your time. It's good to talk.
Thank
with
you for having me.
Good to talk with a homegrown. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour. And we have Florida Man on the way as well. Yeah, I couldn't even believe, just sidebar, Brown and Crouppen, Kane.
I know.
So if you're not from Missouri or the St. Louis area, I mean, I have their It's St. Louis based. It's a law firm, Brown and Crouppen, right? And they did like personal injury and all that kind of stuff, billboards everywhere. And it was this guy. He looked like he could have been, you know, like a fisherman. You just give him a yellow slicker. He kind of had a pirate vibe, excuse me. And he wore an eye patch. And we're like, that guy's been through it. And that for some reason, it just gave him a lot of authority. I don't know why. But they've always been downtown. So they're moving to the Hill, which is the Hill's historically an Italian part of St. Louis City. So they're moving to the Hill. They're leaving. They're leaving downtown St. Louis. It's, you know, it's not surprising. Not surprising at all. I mean, St. Louis City and the way the Democrats have generationally run that area, I mean, it's like Cook County on steroids. It's madness. And it's such a beautiful city. Golly, our St. Louis wire-cut brick. I could sit here and tell you about the architecture and the brick and everything of St. Louis. It's nothing, not like anything else.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a quick just side note, little correction to myself from last segment when I was talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. I fused two personal injury attorneys in St. Louis into one personal injury attorney. So the dude from Brown and Crouppen is the guy who looks like the Morton's fisherman. The eye patch dude is a different dude, Ed Brown, and he unfortunately like offed himself a couple of years ago.
Yeah, about 2.5 years ago.
Ooh,
yeah.
Like how do you, I was like, can we confuse my attorneys? I mean, I see you see well, one commercial, you see them all, but
one was Brown and Crouppen, the other one is Brown and Brown. So
yeah, so you can understand.
Yeah, it's easy to get the confusion going.
Like Brown and Brown, can't you just be like the Browns? It has to be Brown and Brown. All right. Oh, let's see. A Florida man slaps his woman with a slice of pizza.
What?
For real. Brevard Times. Can I just say, this was 21 hours ago when this was reported. Marion County, Florida. Florida man allegedly slapped his wife with a slice of pizza. Talk about a domino effect. Ba-dum-tsh. Thank you, guys. Thank you. When the deputy, it's not funny. Dana, you're talking about assault. Shut up. When Marion County Sheriff's deputies arrived at the residence in response to a 911 call, the wife stated that 39-year-old Ortello Alfonso of Summerfield slapped her in the side of her face with a slice of pizza. Now, they did I like how the sentence, it's very, Marion County deputies observed pizza sauce on the wife's clothes and hair, along with the kitchen walls and ceiling. They arrested him for domestic violence battery. Can I just say, if you were going to get hit with something, it's a pretty tasty hit. You know, I'd have caught that in midair with my mouth. I'd have been like, yeah, arr, thought you were going to get me, didn't you? Clum, clum, clum. I love pizza. Come at me again. Come on, I'm your Huckleberry. I'd catch it like a dog with a Frisbee mid-slap. Arr, just chew that pizza up. Golly, I want pizza right now. All right, so. what is this in slick? What is little skiers?
Little skeezers.
Like, Caesars.
Right.
Did you just put little skeezers?
It's what you call the place that hits you in the face with pizza.
Little skeezers?
Little skeezers.
Is that a thing?
It is now.
Now it is.
It is now.
So this 60-year-old Florida man is better than you. He did three. He doesn't even look 60. I think he's a vampire. He did 3,264 push-ups in an hour and broke a world record.
Hey.
Yeah. So what did you do today?
Well,
I ate some yogurt with some granola, you know, lifted some laundry, I don't know, just, you know. Oh, man. So, wait, there's more. This, golly, this is an actual headline. I love it. It's Coral Springs Talk. Walmart employee takes rollback prices too seriously and is charged with grand theft. Yeah, you can't be doing that. A Walmart employee was arrested and charged with grand theft after his coworkers discovered he'd been operating an elaborate scheme, very elaborate, to defraud the store of thousands of dollars. So just a couple of days ago, well, not more than that, on March 12th, the Coral Springs police responded to a call regarding grand theft at a Walmart, and the alleged suspect was a current employee. They found Angelo, 19 years old, systematically defrauding Walmart through a variety of employee-only known codes used at the cash register to discount products much less than their actual retail price. So he was using this price override feature. He was changing all these items and then So they said that the provable total loss was over $3,000 in 1 month alone. And they were primarily high-dollar electronics. Only a few of them were actually grocery items. And so they had a folder. Every time he did it, they were targeting it. So he's arrested. He's now in Broward County Main Jail. I mean, how do you think that you're not going to get caught doing that? My heavens. So this Florida man, let's pull this up here. 40-year-old Kenneth Emery. Man, he looks older than 40. They said Pinellas County says they tracked down a man who was eluding deputies since Monday. He was wanted for petty theft. They tried to arrest him. Somehow he got away on foot, and he had one handcuffed on his wrist. They did find him finally and took him into custody. He's a transient. He's got all kinds of stuff, drug paraphernalia, fentanyl, all kinds of things. So they did get him. We have more in store. Another hour on the way. Stick with us.
The budget will advance our efforts to modernize the State Department, including by expanding our training float, updating our technology, carrying out diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility initiatives, including to make our overseas missions more accessible. I'm grateful for the progress we've already made together, including Congress's support in updating the Secure Embassy Construction and Counterterrorism Act.
DEI and accessibility initiatives?
Yeah.
What does that entail? That's Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken is talking about, I want to modernize State Department. How about you modernize them to not nation build? That'd be great. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Top of this third hour. This is the problem. Because they have one job, guys. One job. I was looking at the their whole thing. Secretary's Office of Diversity and Inclusion. It's a whole thing. They said, for instance, this is a statement. This is such a ridiculous PDF. One big page for this. I am committed to advancing our security and prosperity by building a diplomatic corps that fully represents America and all of its talent with 21st century challenges. And then they get into literally DEI. The promotion, the inclusive culture. They get it. What does that have to do with just stop it? By the way, I'm just curious. Did they fly the rainbow flags when they're like in Saudi Arabia and all that? I'm just, you know, the embassy is there. Is that done? When you look at the, and I'm looking at it now, all of the stuff that they have, I mean, it is a big thing. It gets into things that I have no, like an inclusive culture. So much of this is word salad. Leverage training to promote inclusivity. What does that even mean? Conduct a department-wide DEIA climate survey. I don't know. This is so goofy. Why are they focusing on this? Hi, we kind of got some stuff happening. I don't know if you guys have been watching what was going down in Moscow. Right. Some things have been going on, you know, a little concerning to all of us. We also have financial NatSec concerns. We have energy concerns. And in the meantime, they're focusing on this. Oh, and then don't forget they focused on the parents, too. New House report out from the weaponization of government out today. And I'm going to link this in your email prep for those of you who are subscribers over at Chapter and Verse on Substack. The title of this interim staff report from the Committee on the Judiciary and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government is titled A Manufactured Issue and Misapplied Priorities. Subpoena documents show no legitimate basis for the AG's anti-parent memo. It is, it's pretty stunning. The DOJ, through this documentation and information from whistleblowers, it shows that there was absolutely no basis at all whatsoever for them to, no justification for doing what they did, which was classifying, following parents, surveilling them, classifying them through their terror protocols as terrorists. It's wild. It's pretty extensive, too. And it was absolute collusion. They were calling parents terrorists. They used the Patriot Act. By the way, I have taken a lot of heat for that over the years. I feel entirely vindicated. Thank you. What gets me is you have people saying, oh, you got to watch out for TikTok spying on everyone. What about the government through the Patriot Act spying on you? We just saw it right here. That was the whole, well, we're going to sacrifice a little freedom for security. Well, you know what Ben Franklin said about that. So the Patriot Act was used to go after parents who expressed criticism over school lockdowns, who expressed criticism about CRT in the classrooms, the gender, the drag queen, all of that stuff, inappropriate sexual brainwashing, any of this. According to the report, it says, quote, internal executive branch documents indicate that the Biden administration's use of federal law enforcement and counterterrorism resources is an example of government weaponization against American parents. And if the Justice Department performed any due diligence prior to the issuance of the AG's memorandum, it would have understood clearly and forcefully that federal intervention, the report states, was unwarranted because the due diligence did not occur. And the administration acted out of political motivations rather than for law enforcement reasons. Parents around the country had FBI assessments opened on them, says the report. Now, they're still investigating it. You had the National School Board Association colluding with the DOJ, colluding with the Biden administration, colluding with the Department of Education and even the White House to push for a further, more aggressive federal investigation into parents. Now, with this, too, the draft language, remember, it was the draft language of the letter. The National School Board Association had drafted language of its letter with the White House that it sent to the DOJ. So that, remember, we all know that. And that raised, apparently, there was no concerns with abusing Patriot Act counterterrorism measures to track parents. Just unbelievable. And remember, there were a lot of school boards that left the National School Board Association. They left them. A number of school districts ditched the organization. And Merrick Garland, back in October of last year, said that he stands by the memo where they were targeting parents at the request of the National School Board Association in a letter that they wrote with the White House. I mean, I don't know how it gets more weaponized than that. And so there hasn't really been from what we've heard from Jim Jordan, there hasn't been any cooperation from the White House with any of this. They said that between all the whistleblowers that have come forward and everything else, though, it's bad. This was bad. They wanted to manufacture a threat so that they could look like victims because they had no other defense of their behavior and treatment of parents. So they needed to look as though they were the ones who were being targeted. And they are mad because it took out Terry McAuliffe, who I think at one point they were also grooming him for maybe a potential VP consideration or something to that effect. But the fact that you had the National School Board Association drafting a letter with the White House that was then sent to the DOJ to spy on parents using the Patriot Act and classifying them as terrorists. There were no threats. Local law enforcement told that to U.S. attorneys who are investigating this. But Garland didn't verify that before he launched into his tirade on parents. There were no threats. There was nothing. There was no quote unquote disturbing spike. There were no threats. There was nothing. What they were trying to do, they were trying to get ahead of that election. They were trying to use the government to put the finger on the scale again of an election and help Terry McAuliffe, and it backfired. Parents were too quick. Media hasn't covered this. Can you imagine if Republicans were watching progressive parents? Golly. That's why all this stuff makes the goofy J6 committee look stupid. Where is their concern for the weaponization of things like this? You know, someday you could get a Republican in office that is kind of a tyrant. You don't know. Get somebody like me in there. You open the door to weaponization of government, guess what? Somebody worse than you may come along and use it. Mm-hmm. Now, Kane just told me, Kane, you've been following what the Fed's doing.
Yeah, they raised the rates 25 basis points, just 0.25%.
So now it's, yeah. This and they were expected to. This was something that they were looking at. Is this going to be enough, though?
Oh, no, there'll be continued rate hikes. According to what was said in the announcement was that you can expect rate hikes in the future. They still have to tighten up the economy at this point because inflation is still an issue.
Yeah. They said this is coming in from Reuters, so this is all just hitting. They're saying that the raise in rates, apparently a lot of the economists are pretty divided on it, but still, we kind of saw this was coming. So this is just this quarter point rate hike this week.
Just so you know, this is the ninth rate hike in a row. Every time the Fed has met and every time there's been a consideration for an increase in the rate hike, there has been one. So this is the ninth rate hike in a row. That's how bad inflation actually is.
Mm. So a few other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting. And like I said, I'm going to make sure that you also have that report from the House Oversight Committee. That it's pretty eye-opening as well. Did you guys, have you seen the the collected, how do I put this? All the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop apparently is online and searchable. And there's new stuff that they added.
Yeah.
Like stuff I can't even show.
Yeah.
It's bad. Bad.
Thought it was just Russian disinformation, though.
And wasn't there family photos or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, not in that way, but you know what I mean, that were on there?
Yeah.
He apparently has a major gallery of gross stuff. And it's, I don't even know how to say it, it's bad. But they have it where it's like entirely searchable. Did I send this link to you guys?
No.
Oh my gosh. This is bad. It's called BidenLaptopReport.MarcoPoloUSA.org. I'll put this. It's a lot. But it gets into drug-related crimes, sex-related crimes, influence peddling, legal accountability, business-related crimes, background. I mean, some of the stuff is not. And it has receipts. It shows who got what. When they got it, where they received it in terms of money, et cetera, et cetera. It is pretty unbelievable. And it is 644 pages. And you can search for things all online. And it gets into, for instance, apparently in one iMessage that was sent on July 11th, 2018, Hunter Biden bemoaned to Joe Biden. He said, you said it was unfair to keep the kids away from Ashley when she was using drugs. And this was apparently, I guess people didn't want kids by Hunter. There's a whole bunch of stuff about that. All kinds of stuff. Hookers and cocaine. And I mean, he's got all these pictures of him smoking crack. It is wild. It's too much to get into. I cannot even believe that something like this, that there's this much that exists. It is one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen in my life. And they like, for instance, one of the pages, and I'm looking at one of these things. He complained even about like Trump's kids. He, you know, all this stuff. And I just can't. I mean, it's a lot. I'm going to put this is not anything that I can like go into in depth on air because there's so much. But this was, by the way, apparently from all the stuff that's on this also includes that those photos that he took where he was measuring. He was using a Cheech and Chong G4 scale to weigh his crack. It says it on there. It's branded. Oh, man, it's bad. Anyway, it's all for, you would think that the media would be talking about this. They're not. They're not.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
An elevator malfunction during maintenance caused New York City's new $3.3 billion One Vanderbilt skyscraper to shake and terrified workers to flee the 93-floor tower, says the owner. They said that for the 14th, 51st, and 60th floors all shook dramatically, and they said it was caused by repair work to the elevators. That sounds slightly terrifying. Just there you go. Oh, boy. Rolling Stone writes this thing about how the FBI raided this journalist's home, but then they didn't tell people why. Apparently, the FBI had raided this journalist's house, and it was, well, it's because he's a child predator. And Rolling Stone was not apparently forthcoming about it. It was the journalist was ABC News national security producer James Gordon Meek, and he was like a producer for a whole bunch of stuff. But when like Rolling Stone did this piece on him, they, you know, were talking about his national security status, et cetera, or his position. But they didn't actually say that that's why his house was raided. So go media. Go media. They just said he was raided, but they didn't say why. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Finishing up this hour.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
And by the way, I want to warn you. There are two types. The medals are beautiful. The ribbons are hung on. One doesn't separate. So any woman who I'm giving the one medal to, please don't get angry with me if I mess up your hair.
So that's what he was doing yesterday, Joe Biden. POTUS. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. And don't forget to sign up for that newsletter, Chapter and Verse Substack. I'm going to put you put a little warning icon on the Hunter Biden laptop link. So you look at one page and you got to go to church. It's that bad, guys. So I'm, do I really, hang on, let's wait. Just pause everything for a moment. Do I really want to put this in the newsletter? Hang on, guys. Do I really want to put that? Because, I mean, it is skanky.
I say.
It's so bad. No, we're talking quietly.
Oh, okay. It's just between us. I say, yeah. I say you put it in there.
I think I put it in?
Give people a choice. We're all about choice.
Oh, man, I know. But, so, man, it's nasty. Some of these people are going to need Jesus after real bad.
Put the link in there and then put a little warning. I think everybody will be fine.
Okay, all right. We're back. So, there's no eye bleach. So, I'm not. I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. It is so bad. I feel like I need to wipe this computer screen down with some anti-germicidal something. It's so nasty. If you could take dirty 70s carpet, stale smoked cigarettes, flat beer and flab, and put it into a document, it would be this. Yeah. With crack and ew. It's so bad. I am amazed that all of the media and Democrats are pretending this doesn't exist. There's so much stuff in here about the CCP. It is wild. They don't care. They don't care. If this was like Donald Trump Jr.'s report card, oh my gosh, they'd be all over it. Oh, man. Okay, so a couple of things here. Speaking of two things, so we said the Manhattan DA, they were just saying to stand by for tomorrow, the grand jury. We don't know what's happening there. Nobody knows. I think that they're struggling to get anything. I really do. Second thing, I have three bullet points here under a GOP heading. Second thing, I keep seeing this thing. It says Trump allies accused DeSantis of lashing out. Please realize that Piers Morgan interview. He did no such thing. Like there was at one point when he was asked about whether he was going, you know, is he thinking about running? What is he, you know, what does he think he's going to do? Like they're slamming him. This was literally his quote. Morgan, do you think you could beat Biden? DeSantis, I think so. Morgan, so you're running then? DeSantis, no, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. That's literally it. And they're like, he slammed him. And all these people, there are a number of people, some of them are our friends on the right, that are buying into this. Oh my gosh, you guys, this is not about DeSantis or about Trump. This is about the media wanting to bait you into beating up one of them, if not both of them. so that it's easier for Joe or whoever in the general for 2024. Do not take this bait. If you love Trump and that's who you're going to go for, great. If you don't and you want DeSantis, great. Primaries are about choices. In general, you go to war with the cards you got. But it makes zero sense to take the media's bait and do the Democrats' job of whittling down or trying to diminish the strengths or whatever of any of our candidates or potential candidates. It's just, I am not taking that bait. And I'm not going to have a bunch of paid brand new troll accounts that are operated by very poor operatives, by the way. I know who you are because some of you are so damn stupid. You post the same thing twice on your account and let me get screenshots. So do not make me name you and publish that. But it's all organized and they try to, I understand that they think that they're doing some 4D chess for the campaign, but they're not. They're hurting the campaign and they're dividing people who should be allies. We don't have the luxury of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We don't have that luxury. This is it. This is the election where it really is it. It's it. That's the last time I'm ever going to say it. That's it. I don't have time to screw around with any kind of fealty or loyalty. And I'll say it again. The candidate needs to earn your fealty. They need to earn your loyalty. Not the other way around. We fought a war to end a monarchy, not to get ourselves back into one for primaries. Do not take the media's bait on this. The way that Piers Morgan and all this was headlined was one of the most irresponsible things I've seen. And I see a lot of conservative sites repeating it because it's sensational and they like the clicks because they've succumbed to this trash just like so many others have. Don't be bought in by these people. Be smart. There are some sheep amongst you cloaked as, or wolves amongst you cloaked as sheep. So just keep your wits about you. Don't be manipulated. Make them work to earn your loyalty. Now, that being said, also make them work to not give up your damn toaster. Can we just please? One of the things I was having a conversation with some folks, because I like talking about how much I don't like electric cars, you know, to anybody who'll listen. And I have to check to make sure nobody comes in the studio because they're not going to like what it is. So, look, I'm not against electric cars, okay? I'm not against gadgets. It's basically a giant gadget. I'm not against it. And my husband's like, oh, they're the fastest cars are an electric car. And he loves that S-Plaid, Tesla S-Plaid. Oh, good for you. It goes plaid. It's ludicrous speed, then plaid speed, Spaceballs reference. So I'm like, oh, that's great. Well, I was sharing this story with Kane because now apparently which I knew it would because it's amazing, the new 23 Dodge Challenger SRT Demon, it claimed the fastest car title, ability to accelerate 0 to 60 in 1.66 seconds on a drag strip, 1,025 horsepower. Now, the Model S Plaid has 1,020 horsepower. It can hit 60 in 1.99, cover a quarter mile in 9.23 seconds. So the Dodge Demon, the SRT Demon, has been certified with a quarter mile time of 8.91 seconds. It makes it the first production car from a major American brand to break the 9-second barrier. Ooh, yeah. Stoked about that. I want this car. I feel like that lady in Napoleon Dynamite with the ship in the bottle. I want that. I want that. I'm her. So I immediately sent this link to my husband. Anyway, I was talking to some friends of mine. They were like, yeah, it's crazy. All of the emission stuff that you have to do with your car that actually makes it to where you have to use more gas because of emissions. But gas is bad. Yes, but it makes you use more of it for BS emissions. Okay. They make regulation, government regulation makes everything dumber. Case in point. I promised you toaster. I'm delivering toaster. Here's Elizabeth Warren yesterday. At 4:30, quote, you don't need to be an appliance expert to know which toasters are safe to buy, thanks to federal regulations. And you shouldn't need to be a banking expert to know which banks are safe to put your money in. So I'll keep fighting for strong guardrails in our financial system. Here, honey, would you like a beer?
No, I don't.
Really? She didn't add that. No, I made that up. I mean, how would we be able, how would the baby millennials and Gen Z be able to make their avocado toast without the government telling them about the toaster? That's the dumbest sentence I've ever read, I think, on the show. You don't have to, quoting a lawmaker who tweeted, you don't have to be an appliance expert to know which toasters are safe to buy thanks to federal regulations. You all are too stupid to know what toasters to buy. It's a good thing Uncle Sam is here to point out this one. You know what? I'm gonna. You know how I'm gonna toast my bread now, Kane? Flamethrower. Is that toaster okay? I'm gonna throw it up in the air. And
is it safe, Elizabeth?
Is it safe? She'll probably. Never mind. I was gonna say something that was really funny, but anyway. Government regulation, man. Even with a toaster, I'm made of jokes on this. But why stop there? Why not have the government send people out, Kane, to toast the bread for you? You don't need to be an appliance expert to know which toasters are safe to buy, thanks to federal regulations which push government employees to your home to toast your bread for you. Will they wipe your ass too? I'm just curious. I mean, where does it stop? Who's actually in the store going, gee, I don't know which toaster to buy. I'm too stupid to understand how to toast bread. Here, this one says the government likes this one. I wonder why the government likes this toaster. And really, is it that hard to make a toaster?
I don't think so.
Seriously, I say this and I'm not even allowed to touch the power tools in my house. It's for my and everyone else's safety. And because I infuriate people because I don't measure things when I hang them up. Where my husband has a tripod for this laser thing and he gets it out and it's an ordeal and there's a lot of equipment involved. And I'm like, it's just a nail in the thing. I don't get it. No, you have to use this holder for it and everything. I can't deal. I don't even know where they are. They're hidden in the garage. You know that, right? There's like a whole chest of stuff out there that's locked for my own safety. I'll come back. The house is burning down. I just tried to hang a picture. That's all I did. But for real, where is that what we're going to get to next? I can't believe this. So, and then that statement prefacing, you shouldn't need to be a banking expert to know which banks are safe to put your money in. Well, that's not necessarily what it's about, is it? It's about federal regulation. Again, making everything bad, ruining everything. Golly, I just, I don't know. Remember when they took the phosphates out of the dish soap so that you couldn't wash her dishes? Gosh. Wait, what would she do different? What would she do different with bank? Well, no. I mean, she's a socialist. I know what she would do. Good heavens. All right. And then I have a piece up on Substack where I get into that John Cornyn. We reached out to Senator John Cornyn yesterday to ask him to come on the show. I have a piece called The Art of Muniching. The lazy reasoning employed by modern neocons and how everything to neocons is a Munich moment. And I went into the history of it, how John Kerry was arguing for that the U.S. response to chemical weapons in Syria was a Munich moment. George W. Bush and after 9/11, George H.W. Bush for Iraq, for Gulf War. That's been like the standard kind of response, especially now, to anyone who expresses any kind of hesitation involving the United States further in the conflict in Ukraine. And apparently means you're a Hitler appeaser if you want any kind of accountability. So I was actually addressing Senator John Cornyn's remark because he was calling Federalist Sean Davis basically Neville Chamberlain because Davis was asking for some kind of accountability. And it all centered around DeSantis's remark that Russia-Ukraine conflict was a territorial dispute. And I get into some of the history of it as well, particularly some of the interesting debate around Chamberlain and the British government. They knew that Czechoslovakia was not, they weren't going to be able to save it, and they could barely save themselves. They needed to prepare for certain war by leveraging a nation that they knew they couldn't save. So there's some very interesting debate on that. But I also get into the similarities, which are few, and the differences, which are many. And we get into a number of things there. So that's up on Substack, titled The Art of Muniching. And you can go and you can check that out as well. And make sure you sign up, because then you can get the daily email radio prep, all that good stuff on there. And notice of guests. So subscribers already know that tomorrow we're going to speak with Nikki Haley. So they already know all of that.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
The bill that the president signed yesterday on COVID origins, it calls for the declassification within 90 days. Can you give us a better sense as to when that information will actually be declassified? Are we talking about days, weeks, months?
I can't give you a date certain right now.
Oh, he has no idea. He has no idea. I mean, he's going to do it. They just don't know. Do you honestly think that it's ever going to happen? I'm still waiting to see them aliens. You know, I mean.
I said I know.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Yeah, they have no idea. They can't. They can't. They have no idea. Now, we're still, like I said, it's just all weird. I don't know what the point of this, why they said just to have the, I guess, grand jury and standby tomorrow. I was just looking really quickly at any latest that I had for you. It's just kind of a mystery. But, Bragg's in, you know, Manhattan today, and they said that the grand jury was canceled for the day. The panel that is probing the case was told to stay home, be on standby for tomorrow as people wait for a potential indictment. Police are still, and they still have their presence there in NYC. And there's questions as to whether any indictment is coming this week. And then I question, is there any indictment coming at all? Because it is such a stretch anyway. And I just, I don't know. I struggle to see how this is a felony. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Today in stupidity.
It's because it isn't. It isn't a felony.
Because it's not.
All right. KJP claims that the banking system is currently stabilizing because of the regulations passed during the Obama-Biden administration. This is laughable. Listen.
We see a stabilizing, that the banking system is resilient. And a lot of that is because of the work that this president has done. I know you've mentioned the current things that he's doing, but let's not forget what occurred in the Obama-Biden administration and how they were able to strengthen that.
This just proves that this is Obama's third term to me.
Yeah, it kind of. Well, he's got a lot of the same people there. Yeah. So there you have it. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Tomorrow, Nikki Haley joins us, and then we'll finish out our week. Make sure you sign up over at Substack. Find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Have a great night. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.